Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Underway in hour number 2 with Joe and Donnie Rader on the early line. Series from Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. The Diamond. It was popping on the Diamond yesterday, Joe. Just not for my Philadelphia Phillies. What a run last year. I guess I can always remember last year making it to the World Series because the Phillies seemingly must have partied all season long as they open up 1-5 now after another loss to the New York Yankees yesterday. Now, the Yankees, 4-2, all 6 games at home. The Phillies, 1-5, all 6 games on the road. The Phillies did have their home opener rained out today, so they have another day to stew on this. Nola wasn't that bad. Now, when he came out of the game, some runners left on base, and there you go, 2-run shot, and away the Yankees go with the victory. But on the opposite side, that's 2 really good starts out of Gerrit Cole for the Yankees, Joe.
Ridiculously good starts here. And listen, I can tell you right now with your Phillies, too, that was a hell of a start by Nola, too. I mean, They gave up the run early, but other than that, it was all goose eggs, guys. I mean, it was that was a much better Aaron Nola than what we had gotten in Texas, right? So, but there is no doubt that Cole is much more locked in. And I'll tell you, maybe the thing that as a Yankee fan, Donnie, that I was so forget about the Cole and what he's done to have Clay Holmes come into the game late there in a relatively close matchup and not walk 6 guys and strike out 3. I think that was impressive. The fact that he came in and just struck out the side there, that's going to be big for the Yankees because that was the Holmes that we had early last year. And then he got hurt and then we lost him like above the shoulders. Like he had no confidence. And then you didn't know what you were getting late in games. If that Clay Holmes sticks around the Yankee bullpen, yikes, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, good start for the Yanks there. Also, another good start, which seems like every single year for us here, with the Tampa Bay Rays 6-0 on the season, 3-0 on the road, putting away the Nationals 7-2. A great performance again by Shane McClanahan, 2-0 now on the season with an ERA of 1.50. The question we always have with the Rays is, do they have enough offense to get by? Their offense has been very good here, Joe, early season.
This is exactly the same lineup from a year ago, guys. I mean, it's exactly the same team, just, you know, that much better this year here. I mean, the middle of that law, when you got Franco in there, you got Diaz up at the top. As Rosina, you got Ramirez, Mark. They can just rotate guys in left and right. And my goodness, not to mention what they can do with the pitching staff on, you know, what some teams have to struggle, Donnie, to go, well, what do we do at a fourth starter? We got to go to the bullpen. They're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're good. We got how many guys you want? We'll go 3 innings. We'll go 2 innings. Oh, yeah, that's all right. We're already up 4-0 anyway. So we're good to go. It's a scary team, but as we've seen in years past with Tampa, there will be a lull in this, Donnie, at some point. For them, the question is, are they going to already have 30 wins before that happens?
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, too, because when we take a look at the Major League Baseball landscape, we always know the Rays are on the forefront of, like, the metrics, as we like to say, or the analytics
yes.
here. Some of the analytics are taken away here with the shift and, you know, what you're supposed to do in that environment. We'll see if they hold on, but certainly if the Rays went 0-6, we'd be sitting like, ha-ha, see that? Computers don't play the game. Now that you can't use your computer, you can't win games. That's not the case. The Rays are 6-0 here, certainly opening up 3-0 on the road. That certainly bodes well. Also, another team here that looks dangerous here in the early season is the Atlanta Braves, who they sweep over the Cardinals. Oof. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live to the Early Line on a Thursday morning here, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe Ranieri, it's Sonny Wrightside. The Braves, look, it's not like we didn't see this one coming either. The Braves are really good. Bats come alive yesterday, score a couple runs early, use that bullpen late, and it's working like a charm. Big win by the Braves over the Cards yesterday.
Well, I mean, look at the top of that order, right? Acuna, really 2-for-5. Matt Olson, 3-for-5 and a homer. Riley, 2-for-4. I mean, you go down that lineup, they got some mashers. A little concerning here for the Cardinals as what was supposed to be their ace, right? Mikolas got lit up again. He got lit up in the first game against Toronto, and he got lit up again. I mean, he's got an ERA now after two starts, Donnie, hovering around 10. That is not great news there for the Cards. So hopefully he'll be able to figure some stuff out because it has not been a great start to the season for them by any stretch.
Yeah, it seems like one of those automatic IL stints here for the pitcher who doesn't pitch well through his first two starts. Something has to be wrong. Even if it's not, you might want to sit him down for a couple days to certainly get right here. I'll tell you who's not right, and that's the Mets on the road here as the Brewers pull up the sweep. And also, some of the things that you look forward to, it wasn't really a save situation here. Ottavino gives up the home run here in the loss for the Mets, but that's also another reason where you're trying to juggle and see who's going to be that closer of the New York Mets. And certainly when your top closer goes down, other guys get pushed into different situations. Tough moves there for the Mets as they get swept out there by the Brew Crew.
Yeah, especially when you got a guy coming out squaring around trying to bunt and get himself on and then fell behind the count and had no choice but to swing, and Ottavino was nice enough to fork one over so he could park it and end the game. But I get 3-2, I believe it was also the count. It was a full count. But listen, it's early. The Mets have not played well in Milwaukee, guys, since 1986. They'll be fine. This has just never been a place they have actually done well in, Donnie.
Yeah, I hear you. Doing well yesterday, finally, Jacob DeGrom with a nice bounce-back start from opening day as the Rangers beat the Orioles 5-2 and improved to 4-2 all of those games at home. We were supposed to have a stacked deck here in the afternoon on Thursday at Major League Baseball. Some rainouts, but that doesn't matter. We got you covered with the rest of the games. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball. Let's get after it today, Joe. Some fun out there. Now, granted, this is why we have opening days, Joe, in northeastern cities with a built-in day off, because rain sometimes or cold weather enters into the forecast like it did. Three games in the Northeast are postponed today. One actually in, I guess, the upper Midwest, you could say, Minnesota. How about this? There's no rain in the forecast out in Minneapolis today, but wind chills below 30 degrees. That's not fun, Joe. You get a sawed off fastball. How's that feel in your hands with that bat, Joe? Think it feels good?
Yeah, I don't. Listen, Donnie, if it drops below 60 degrees, I won't go golfing here in South Florida. So I won't even leave the house. The heat goes on. So, no, I remember those days where it reverberates like right through everything hurts, right through the bones in your body. And the last thing you want to do is play in more of that. So it's a rough go of it for the old teams in the Northeast here early on. But good news is it should only be, what, another 2 months worth of that?
Yep, see that? In the Northeast, we don't play baseball. Down in South Beach, iguanas fall out of the tree if it's 72 degrees or below. So watch out. Forget about falling bats and balls. Watch out for falling iguanas. Let's get to some games here today. Boston and Detroit. This game's going to be a chilly one. 50 degrees anticipated, so I guess it could be balmy considering what some of the temperatures would be in Minneapolis, Minnesota today. But if we're looking at matchups here, and again, we don't have a lot of things to go over because most of the pitchers, maybe one start. The batters, let's just say lefty-righty splits right around 20 at-bats. But the one thing that we do know, looking for Boston going up against Turnbull, early season returns, they should have success. Chris Sale through one game, 19 batters. He didn't do very well versus lefties or righties here. So if we take a look at matchups here, for me, Boston has the advantage. And I got a couple of hitter prop parlays that we could put together. But your initial thoughts today on Boston and Detroit, first pitch 110 today.
Well, listen, we know Sale, right? It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I've been looking forward to seeing what Spencer Turnbull, coming off that Tommy John surgery, right? I think this is his actually first home start since 2021 here. And there was a lot of, Donnie, if you remember the hype around Turnbull, there was, he had some quality stuff. Then he ended up having to go under the knife. So we'll get to see him here. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he has too, because Detroit, you know, you always got to look at teams like Detroit in situations like this, Donnie, and go, all right, is there, they're always going to be a dog. The value is always going to be on backing them. It starts with certainly the starting pitching and whether or not Turnbull's a guy that we think we're going to be able to trust here moving forward. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he has here at home in that first start in a long, long time.
By the way, if we're just, he only has had 18 batters that he's faced so far in the season for Turnbull. The xFIP comes out to just over 10. K percentage not high, walk percentage too high. Lefty-righty splits too, because Turnbull's a right-handed pitcher. Lefties, a 582 weighted on base percentage against him. Righties, a 785. So if you're trying to focus in early season, who's doing well? Verdugo with the 313 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. Devers, 250. Duvall, 500. If you put those three, Joe, in a hitter prop parlay here, each to get at least one base hit, it plays out at a plus 154. So something to watch, maybe put them in like RBI, prop, something like that. That would make some sense. But again, we're so early in the statistics here. If this were August or July and we were talking about Turnbull with a 10x FIP, what would the number be in the game? 11 and a half, 12 and a half as a run. But obviously, those numbers certainly are going to calm down. Next game we're going to take a look at here, the San Francisco Giants and the Chicago White Sox on the mound here for the Giants. Wood on the mound for the White Sox. Lynn, this game lines up as a slight favorite here for the White Sox at a minus 146 price and a total also of 8 here. Any thoughts on the Giants and the White Sox today for you, Joe?
Yeah, the Giants are, I did not expect them to get, Cease pitch yesterday made them look bad. Lance Lynn actually has not been bad early on. You had a chance to watch him a little bit there in the World Baseball Classic, right? Came in his first start. I think he went just over 5 innings there. I thought he looked real good. I like the top of the rotation here for the Chicago White Sox team. So it's maybe strikeout props might not be a bad way to look here early on, Donnie, in this one with Lance Lynn and Alex Wood, actually, for that matter. I think also has an ability to be able to strike some dudes out here. And if the number is, I don't know, anywhere in that 5 to 6 mark, we might have a bet here.
Yeah, some things to take a look at. Again, in the way too early in the season, because we don't have a lot of statistics, Lance Lynn, 6 left-handed batters he faced. Again, it's only 6, but a 437 weighted on base percentage. He's actually been mowing down early in the season right-handed batters to the tune of an ISO power number of 0. But if we're looking at the lineup today, anticipated once again, Peterson and Yastrzemski, 2 lefties in the lineup for the Giants, looking to be in that 4-5 hole. 429 ISO power number through 16 at-bats versus right-handed pitching. And then Yastrzemski, 462 ISO power number through 15 at bats here against right-handed pitching here. So if you line those two guys up, pays about a plus 140. That's just to get a base hit apiece. So something to look forward to there. Let's take a look. Toronto and Kansas City yesterday had an RBI prop on both guys, two guys in that game. It was Bichette and also Chapman. Each to get an RBI. One of those guys came due, so it was plus money. It came through. But I'm actually interested here in this because the 8 is listed here as a total. It's going to be Gausman versus Lyles. I expected more offense between these two teams. And I guess I could say I expected more offense from the Royals because it looks like they're dead to rights early in the season. Any initial thoughts here on the Blue Jays and the Royals today?
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought for sure we would have gotten more offense here in these last couple of games. I mean, 3-0 last night, not exactly what we thought was going to be some sort of a crazy game there. But Gausman, I mean, Jordan Lyles, we know. We saw him, I believe, with Baltimore, was it? And Baltimore does a really good job with pitchers. And so far, so good here. For Lyles, I'm starting to think that maybe, just maybe, the first five in the under, Donnie, might be the way to look because, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Neither offense is in peak form. We're not getting the kind of hits, the barrels that we thought we might be getting. And Gausman is a known commodity. I mean, we know what we're going to get with him. So I'm thinking maybe a first five under might not be a bad way to look in this one.
Yeah, if we take a look at Lyles on the early season, only 23 batters that he has faced. His XFIP is around 7, doesn't K a lot of guys, walks too many. And that's really what folds into the XFIP. How many fly balls you giving up, how many guys you striking out, how many guys you giving free passes to. From the right side, he's faced 13. Again, Lyles is a right-handed pitcher. 13 guys, that's a 414 weighted on base percentage. So if you try to line it up and say, well, let me pick out two right-handed batters here from the Toronto Blue Jays, Bichette's got a 511 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching here through 16 at-bats, and Matt Chapman's got a 640 weighted on base percentage through 12 at-bats against right-handed pitching. Maybe you line those two guys up and can have some fun with that. I believe that one's around that minus 125 price. So not plus, but that just shows you the level of those two guys of what they've been doing against right-handed pitching here. Another game we'll take a look at here on the docket. That is the Nationals and the Rockies. Gray versus Freeland. Colorado Rockies a minus 152 favorite here. A total listed at 10.5 here. And again, that's Colorado. That's why it's high.
Yeah, possibility of a snowstorm could erupt here at any point here in Colorado. So I think that's always fun. But the reality is, I believe this is the first Colorado home game, Bonnie. They have been on the road. It's been a tough start here on the road. And we know historically not exactly a great road team. But you know where they are really, really good, Donnie? At home. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So it's the Nats. If the Rockies can't beat the Nats, they might as well just fold the season now. So, yeah, I'm expecting Rockies and good things here.
Yeah, watch out for Blackman, Chrome, McMahon, and Montero in the middle of that lineup doing damage against right-handed pitching early in the season. But yes, watch out for the weather today across the landscape. More Major League Baseball talk next, including some hot topics in baseball. Stay with us right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball is the topic of conversation here on the Early Line for this segment. A couple games and also a couple of hot topics. Now, we will get to the hot topics, but there's certainly a hot game here. Maybe, Joe Ranieri, an NLCS preview here between the Padres and the Atlanta Braves. Set to be first pitch at 7:20 on the mound today. It's going to be Snell and Strider. Two really good pitchers here. The total listed at 8, a heavy favorite for the Braves here at a minus 168. They're coming in red hot from taking on the Cardinals. What are some looks today for you for the Padres and the Braves?
Well, when it comes to Snell, we know this without a doubt, right? If he's got control early, that is a great sign. If the walks are coming or, they're getting to a lot of 3-2 counts, then things start to go south for Snell rather quickly. We also know that the rule of thumb is never allow Snell to see the lineup a third time. So that will either happen. He'll either be out by the fifth, depending on how many pitches he's throwing, Donnie, or he'll be out by the sixth if it's going really well. But the bottom line is Snell is never going to work the lineup three times through. Strider is he was phenomenal last year. What else can you say about this guy? This has got, I feel like, strikeout prop for him written all over it. But it's also something I think if Snell early on has control, we know Atlanta, well, they can pretty much hit just about anybody. but Snell has done a pretty good job. So I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, we look for a team total and we look to go under here, the Padres line in the first five. So I think the number is what, 2.5 maybe for their team total, 1.5 for their team total. I'm not thinking the Padres have a ton of success against Strider early in this one.
Take a look at the weather conditions down in the Big A. 80 degrees looks like at first pitch. Light wind blowing out the left field, but also 33% chance of precipitation here. Sort of gets lower and lower as the night goes on, so we'll see if there might be a delay to start the game, but it looks like they should be able to get that one underway. Dodgers and the Arizona Diamondbacks out on the West Coast here. Oof. This game is going to line up May versus Kelly. The Dodgers, a -152 favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a total of 8.5. And team launch angle, as I always used to dub the Los Angeles Dodgers, looks like they're back into effect here against right-handed pitching, which Merrill Kelly is. Early season returns, Betts ISO power numbers, right-handed pitching, 214. Will Smith, 538. J.D. Martinez, 294. Outman, 583. Taylor, 300. And even Jason Hayward getting into the mix with a 500 ISO power number. Get used to it. The Dodgers as a favorite. Yep, once again tonight, Joe.
So Merrill Kelly, interestingly enough, and I think we can look at Merrill Kelly and be like, dude has been absolutely solid here for Arizona. He's had a real solid career. The problem is in 13 career starts against the Dodgers, he's 0-9 with a 5.64 ERA, Donnie. It is not good, to say the least here. Whatever it is, the Dodgers, they just own Merrill Kelly. Very hard to look at the Arizona side in this one. I would look, I think they got a better shot once they get to the bullpen, actually. So I would look Dodgers early in this one, because that's what they do against Merrill Kelly. For whatever reason, they see it better from him, and the Dodgers have just owned him. If that ain't broke, I'm not fixing it, Donnie.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. They're usually those parlay pieces here. A lot of people just load up on the Dodgers, and rightfully so. It seems like they're always coming in that favored role. The lineup looks great. But again, it's Major League Baseball, where even the worst teams in baseball typically win one out of every three games. We'll watch that one as it plays out. Now, typically, Joe, we'd be going over about another 3 to 4 games today, but a lot of those have been rained down. So it needs us a little bit of extra time to have a little bit of fun here. How about this one? A Babe Ruth bat sells for $1.85 million. This bat from the 1921 season, which is over 100 years old. But the fact of the matter is, you never know really what you buy sometimes. Like, hey, this is a Hannes Wagner signature. This is a Babe Ruth signed baseball. This is a Babe Ruth bat. Yeah, we'll take your word for it. How do you authenticate those? Sometimes it's tough to do. But how about this? Pictures taken of that 1921 season show some divots and some marks on the bat, which line up with the baseball bat that went up for auction. And as everybody knows, your grandparents say, hey, this bat was probably used in the backyard multiple times. Some people had no idea what they had. Hey, you know what? This looks like a bat that might be interesting. Let me take it to auction. And almost $2 million later, Joe.
Well, it's kind of hard, you know. I'm shocked that they were able to authenticate this, because usually, if you pick it up, it's like a tree. That's how much it weighs, guys. It's a 44-ounce bat. Think about this. 44.6 ounces is what Babe Ruth swung. If you try to pick up a 32-ounce bat, some of you right now, you're like, wow, this thing weighs a ton.
Yeah.
44.5 ounces, ridiculousness. It's so funny how we can still come across, right, even in 2023, Donnie, people are like, oh, what's this? Oh, look at this. Where was this side? Oh, let me dust it. Oh, yeah, it's a Babe Ruth bat that he used at the Polo Grounds, of all places, in the 20s. Unbelievable. But the idea that he was swinging a 44.5 ounce bat in back in that day is just shows you just the pure strength that he had. Didn't look it, but the pure strength he had is ridiculous.
Yeah, in the early 90s, we're swinging the Black Magic aluminum bats, like 33-30, 34-28 here, and this guy is using an absolute tree trunk. No wonder the ball went distant. If you weren't good enough, strong enough to swing that bat, if you could make contact, my goodness, and certainly that went a long way. And by the way, just to think back in like the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, how many kids in the backyard were playing with Babe Ruth signed baseballs here, and like, hey, Babe Ruth gave me a bat, or, you know, Lou Gehrig gave me a bat, and they just, you know, they end up in the trash or the dog chews on him here. But this one actually made it through and is worthwhile at this point, which is crazy. Let's move on to other Major League Baseball news. We'll actually keep it in the city of New York. Verlander gets MRI results to the positive. Not ready to come back, but still able to throw. When you take a look at the Mets landscape now, they need all the help they can get. And maybe if this was a sliver of good news, the Mets will certainly take it.
Yeah, well, they better take it. But that is good news for them. And I'm glad to see. Listen, they invested money into him. And, you know, who are we to say he's not worth it? I mean, we said the same thing when he missed the season, right? Came back from surgery with Houston. And we were like, oh, what's he going to be? Is he going to be? He's going to be a Cy Young pitcher. That's what he's going to be. So I'm not sticking a fork in Verlander by any stretch, but I'm kind of with you. The sooner he can get back and help this team, it'll be nice. And hopefully Scherzer figures this thing out. They're still a great 1-2 combo, Donnie, if they're healthy and if they're firing. If they're not, then they become an albatross around the necks of the Mets, and that's not a good situation either. But I'm not at that point yet.
No, I'm with you there. And also, most people in our shoes looked at that deal and go, that makes sense for Verlander. Very short-term deal here, still healthy, still pitching as a dominant fashion, as opposed to going long-term with a lot of money on Jacob deGrom. But we'll see how it plays out here. Also, where do we stand here after week one in Major League Baseball? Any surprises coming up? Tampa Bay sitting there 6-0. The Guardians, who are actually out of my fade list this year, 5-2 on top of the Central Division out in the American League. The Texas Rangers 4-2. And how about this? Take a picture of this because we don't know how long it's going to last. But the Angels are actually 4-2 on the season here, Joe Ranieri. Good vibes in that Angels locker room, huh?
Well, if it's going to require Otani, you know, in his second start to throw 118 pitches for you to be able to get to that point, it still only went 6 innings. But listen, hey, we've seen this from the Angels before. But so far, so good. I mean, you should be optimistic there. The fact that they didn't win his first game against the A's and lost 2-1 is mind-blowing. But Otani is going to be Otani, and unfortunately, what's going to happen, Donnie, is right around the July time frame, you and I are going to have discussions all up into that point of, so where is Otani going? Where is he getting traded to? Who's signing him? What's going on? Because if things go hard left, he's going to push his way out of there, and something's happening here before the end of the season, and he may not be in an Angels uniform by the time the season ends. So I think that is always going to be a topic of a conversation for us throughout the trade deadline, right up until it. Unless this team is rattling off wins, and a lot of them, Donnie, we're going to be talking about Otani in a different uniform a lot.
Yeah, talking about some things here in the National League East. If I would have told you, if somebody would have told me, Joe, and says, hey, by the way, man, the Nationals are tied with the Phillies through 6 games. Like, man, break out the Nationals here. Didn't expect that from them. No, we actually did. They're 1-5, and so are the Philadelphia Phillies. So we'll see if that changes over the next week, the week and a half. But also, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, some of these markets, hey, on the move, somewhat. You're taking a look at the MVP awards here. Ronald Acuna Jr. sits up top at 7-1 with his start. Juan Soto still at 7-1. Now, look, there is a long way to go, but even in the American League, Shohei Ohtani still with that massive distance between himself and Aaron Judge at a 2-1 price. Any looks here in that MVP market, or is it just like, come on now, let's let this thing play out at least 30 days here to see what we got?
Yeah, so far, Donnie, I'm not looking at any of those guys at the top and the chalk and going, boy, that was, oh, this is going to be rough. I think it's playing out according to what the market thought it was going to play out thus far. But again, a lot of baseball left to go. But I don't think there's any real big surprises where you and I are going to be like, wow, we should have had this guy in the that's all. Plenty of time left here. Let's get a couple of starts under the pitchers first, shall we?
Exactly. Alcantara here in the NL Cy Young market here list at 5-1, followed by Spencer Strider, who's going to be pitching today at 7-1, and then out in the American League. Certainly, Gerrit Cole has been sensational to start the season. He's the favorite right now in the clubhouse at the FanDuel Sportsbook, sitting at a 6-1 price, followed by Jacob deGrom. The NBA tonight, the early line, Donnie, we got you covered next, including a same game parlay at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The playoffs are coming. The playoffs are coming. Everything means that much more until we get to the playoffs. April 11th, I believe, is the start of the play-in. April 15th, round one starts. But before we even get there, yesterday came up a little bit short in my same game parlay. Tonight, we are going to cash in big. The FanDuel Sportsbook same game parlay right now. Who's ready to win some money? These two guys right here. So let's get after it. I'll go first. Heat and the 76ers tonight. That's where I am looking. And I also need help from both sides tonight. Let's take a look. Joel Embiid on his march to becoming an MVP. I need 25 or more points out of him tonight. Jimmy Butler, who loves to put on a show against the Philadelphia 76ers in Sixers land. I need him to get 20 or more points tonight. And then James Harden, making it easy for Joel Embiid down on the low blocks, feeding him consistently to get at least 10 assists. When that does happen, Joe Ranieri, I'm taking down a plus 136 same game parlay. What do you have cooking tonight?
Ooh, don't hate that there. Here remains to be seen who's playing on either of these teams. Cracks me up, though. All right, I'm going to go to, let's say, oh, yeah, up the road, I-95 North. We're going to go to Orlando here tonight. And I'd like this game overnight taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers because I suspected this line opened up last night, Donnie, plus four. For Orlando. But looking at it, they just played the other night and Cleveland ended up getting its 50th win on the season. So the question you have to ask here is, what in the hell would Cleveland play anybody for in this game? And the answer is they're not. Donovan Mitchell out, Darius Garland out, Jared Allen out, Evan Mobley out. The entire damn team is out here tonight, which now at 7.5 doesn't matter. Orlando, young team, but the coach even said the other night, we are not giving up. This team wants to win. They want to finish with a winning record at home. They win tonight, they'd be 21-20. And oh, yeah, this is the final push for a very special rookie of the year player. His name is Paolo Banchero. He's got a couple of more games to make his statement here and get that rookie of the year. He's averaging 27 and 4, I believe, on the assists. He did just do against Cleveland starters. He dropped 20 points and a 10 rebound. He had a double-double. I don't see any reason why that's going to change when they're sitting everybody tonight. Expect Banchero to go off and expect Orlando to win this game by double digits. No sweat there. They'll get the final win in Orlando and a bright future ahead of this team. That's for sure.
There you go. And if we take a look, the perfect segue into that game between the Cavaliers and the Magic, this is the stuff that we like to talk about, not because we think it's going to be a competitive game, because some teams jockeying for position, some teams not doing that, some teams looking forward to the offseason. You have a little bit of a case at both here between the Cavaliers and the Magic here. But if you're lining it up, this is what makes it interesting too, because sometimes we talk about the early bird gets the worm. And in the NBA, more so it seems like than any other sports league, you have to understand how the evolution of the roster works, right? Back-to-back games. Who's going to play in this one? These games come out with the lines. If you know, or at least have an inkling of, I think this is going to take place, this is a grand slam home run. Because as you said, getting 4 points now, minus 8.5 points, has a lot of vibes, Joe. It's like week 18 in the NFL where you say, okay, the computer runs it through and says this team's favored by three. Well, they're not favored by three when all of their starters basically are going to be on the bench. And that's what you're getting here in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they've already assured themselves they're locked into the four seed. The top five seeds in the East, guys, are all locked in. So nobody is playing for anything. But, you know, they just played, and this is the other interesting, right? This is the second of one of these home and home back-to-back situations there. Orlando gave them a pretty good run there a couple of nights ago, but Cleveland wanted that 50th win, right? They wanted to hit that benchmark, and they did. Now, there's nothing to play for here, but yet Orlando and all the quotes coming out of Orlando, including from their coaches, do not expect a letdown over these last couple of games. Boncaro's going for that Rookie of the Year award. He's planning on making his statement. I mean, if the dude did a, you know, had a double-double against Mobley and Jared Allen and company, what is he going to have against the backups now of Cleveland? I think it's going to be a monster game. And they've already, they're not playing for ping pong balls in Orlando anymore. They're playing to get better and actually win some games. And I think they win this one going away here, Donnie, going away.
Yeah, good vibes for that Magic team. We'll see. You know, add a couple guys in free agency. That team matures into next year and also playing well at the end of the season. Sometimes it doesn't equate to victories overall, but you know you're heading into the right direction. Nobody's talking about the Magic next year as, oh, let's just throw the season away. So something to keep an eye on here. TNT game here in Philadelphia. The Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Heat on the road, 16-23 overall. The Philadelphia 76ers, 29-11 at home. And you're right. If you look at the standings here, there is a cushion on both sides between the Sixers and the Heat. The Heat still have a lead where it's like, okay, do we need to win this game? Sure, we would like to. If we lose, is it a disaster? Not the case. At the FanDuel Sports, we're taking a look here as the Sixers as a slight favorite in this game. Some of the player props in this one: Jimmy Butler, 24.5, James Harden, 19.5, Joel Embiid, 31.5. How do you approach this game or handicap it where not a lot is on the line? Both teams would like to win, or is it just the simple fact is, hey, let's cement Joel Embiid as the MVP. Who cares if we win? Let's make sure he gets 35 tonight.
Well, and I don't know that they're going to do that either. And this is not exactly the team that you just want to assume you're going to roll the ball out there if they have something to play for. And he's just going to get 35. So, I, you know, listen, part of me would be shocked if Philadelphia rolls out anybody in this one, or at least Embiid, because quite honestly, what does it matter to the Philadelphia team? Now, Miami, listen, they watched Atlanta win last night, and they also watched Brooklyn win. Now, Miami does have still a shot of being able to get themselves out of this play-in game and get themselves into that number six seed. But it won't matter if they lose this game here tonight. But I'm not even going to look at side because the money's already come in on Miami. This opened up at 5.5, Donnie. We're down to 4.5 now. So which tends to, you know, leads me to believe that maybe, just maybe, one or two guys might be taking the night off for Philadelphia. The reality is, though, I'm looking at the total because I believe five of their last six head-to-head matchups, Donnie, have all landed under the total. And it makes sense. This is the number two and three defense in the NBA this year. We're also talking about two teams, number 27 and number 29 in terms of pace. You've got a Sixers team that's gone under in four of their last five. The defense is starting to get ramped up here by everybody involved. And if the starters are going here on both sides, which at least for Miami, we know they will, hey, this is not a game that gets to be a shootout by any stretch of the imagination. 220.5. It was 221.5 last night. It's already started to come down. I'm all over the under here, Donnie. This is going to be a rock fight at best here. I don't think they sniff 220 points in this one.
Get excited for this one, Joe Ranieri. The Trailblazers and the Spurs, a lot to play for. Yeah, nothing to actually play for. Both of these teams certainly shutting it down for the season. And here's my favorite part about it, too, because we are handicappers. We are gamblers. You go to the FanDuel Sports, we can say, let me get some player props in this game. Who can we look at? Zach Collins and Malachi Branham. That's what we're down to here between the Trailblazers and the Spurs. I don't even know how you cap it or what type of performance we're getting, but if you have an angle, Joe, let the people know.
Yeah, you know, Don, I'm looking at the Portland injury report. It's three pages. I'm not even sure who the hell they have left that's not on this list here right now. Kevin Knox, I believe maybe he might be probable tonight. Oh, wait, Matisse Thybulle? No, he's doubtful too as well. I have no idea who any of these people are on either of these two teams. So this would simply be one bet and one bet only. Over. Because we're not going to get any defense here, Donnie. Just bet the over and be happy with it. There's going to be 280 points.
Next game up, Thunder and the Jazz. Technically, Joe, the Jazz still have an opportunity to get into the play-in. Ooh. We don't think they're going to get there, but the one team that has a legitimate chance is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They come into this game at the FanDuel Sportsbook, favored by 6.5 points and a total of 238. Is this one of those where you just say one team needs it, the other one, but it still is a road game here for the Thunder, who need to win by margin and are only 15-25 on the road this season, Joe.
Well, you know, listen, we just saw them. It's a must win, really, in many aspects for both of these teams that have any aspirations of making the postseason, right? So OKC would love to be able to play spoiler and knock Utah out here. But Utah just went to overtime without marketing, without Jordan Clarkson, without Walker Kessler against the Lakers, right? So I would like to say that they're punting here on the rest of the season, but they're not. And that's the big question you have to ask. All right, who is out for Utah? Is it still going to be Colin Sexton? Is he out? Is Markkanen out? Who's in and who is out for this Utah team? And the only question I ever ask with OKC is SGA playing? If he is?
Yeah.
Then boom, then they're good to go. Then that would be a look that I would take here. But everything is relative. What are they laying? Six and a half here? I mean, my goodness here, Donnie. That's a big ask on the road for OKC. Almost maybe even look OKC first half to come out, expect a renewed effort here. And then if the altitude kicks in the second half, well, at least you can say you had him in the first half and not the full game.
One thing we do know, Joe, is if SGA is in the game, pencil him in for 30-plus points.
Absolutely.
We'll see how that one plays out here. Now, a game, Joe, that we probably thought would be a monstrous game looking at the schedule maybe a week and a half ago, not really so monstrous because everybody's really locked into their seeding, the Nuggets and the Suns. Now, if you flip over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, you take a look at the lines, the Suns are a heavy favorite here, -7.5 points, a total of 223. But if you try to look for the tab of player props, specifically player points, there are none because we're not sure who's playing at this point now. And that's because we're not sure who actually wants to play in this game or needs to play in this game. How do you approach this game? Is this a Suns easy victory or the Nuggets just turn over, or do the Nuggets actually have some pride and run Nikola Jokic out there? What do we look at from this game?
Well, I mean, who knows? Does it make any sense? I wouldn't be playing Jokic the rest of the way. Jamal Murray also, so you know, only played 7 minutes in that last game with his sprained his so if I'm Denver, I'm not rolling anybody out there. They are looking for a right. I think the game is won, right? Any sort of combination here, they're going to secure and clinch the number one seed one way or the other. And meanwhile, Phoenix, you know, they are rolling out their guys because they're trying to get into a rhythm here. There hasn't been a lot of minutes on the floor with this Phoenix Suns version that we're getting here with Booker and Durant and Ayton and Chris Paul. So they're trying to head into the playoffs on a roll. I can't see them doing anything but rolling over a shorthanded Denver Nuggets here tonight.
Play-ins, Joe and Erie, start early next week. Playoffs late next week into the following, and away we go to see who's going to cut down the nets and be an NBA champion. I don't know how much we're going to get out of tonight from what should have been a marquee appearance from the Nuggets and Suns, but we're certainly going to watch, tune in, and have some fun. I'm going to close this episode down next, talking a little Ravens football. But Joe and Erie, Wednesday, Thursday, are we fired up? Masters today? Feeling good?
Do it. Let's get it done for Tiger. Not to make the cut. Cash it. Ooh, did I say that out loud?
There you go. Ow. He's a hater. Joe Rainier is a hater out here, people. Stay tuned. Coming up next, listen up. We'll close it down on the early line for Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Today, Donnie Wrightside and also Joe Ranieri carrying it through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid day. The Masters is underway. And how about this? An amateur, Matthew McClain, -1, leading the early charge here. Tiger Woods tees off at 10:18, and we'll find out if any weather conditions have any problems here with some of the leaders here, or also maybe a big ticket can cash because of some uncertain weather conditions. We'll keep an eye on that. The NBA tonight, who's in, who's out, that's certainly what we're paying attention to. And also Major League Baseball, we expected another monster afternoon of baseball, but it turns out four games have been postponed, so we're down to about a half dozen games here, so something also to keep an eye on. But this morning, sometimes the NFL still weighs heavily on our minds, particularly with a certain Ravens quarterback. Listen up. The Ravens certainly are just stirring the pot at this point, right? Is that what we figure? You had a press conference yesterday where they wanted to talk just about the draft itself. Well, most of the reporters, rightfully so, be like, hey, forget about the draft. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson and you getting him signed. Well, they said, we're not talking about that today. It is about the draft. So then it turns right away to, all right, well, you have a first-round draft pick. What would you say if you wanted to draft a quarterback? Now, some organizations would say, look, Lamar Jackson's our quarterback. We're going to get him signed. We just don't have him under sign. We just don't have him under contract just yet, but eventually that's going to take place. We're really not looking quarterback in the first few rounds of the draft, but the Ravens come out and say, hey, you know what? There's some really good quarterbacks in this draft. We have four grades on quarterbacks that we think will be in the top 31, so we owe it to ourselves to evaluate them, and if a quarterback is on the board when we draft, sure, we might take him here. So it seems like that saga is going on and on and on with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, will they draft a quarterback? We don't know. I guess you have to say that to try to put leverage between yourself and Lamar Jackson, and also from other NFL franchises. When you sit back to yourself and say, will they actually draft a quarterback? And maybe you can get a better draft pick because of that. My goodness, Ravens, get it together. TMA's up next with Ben. Stay tuned.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.